Radio Prague News.
Czech and French embassies have been holding breakfasts in support of human rights. A European court has rejected a petition by Andrej Babiš against Slovakia in a dispute about STB files. And Czech car makers hope to match or outdo last year's record output. The Czech Republic and France have held breakfasts with human rights and democracy campaigners at their embassies around the world on Tuesday. The meetings commemorate a famous breakfast at Prague's French embassy on December 9, 1988, when then-French President François Mitterrand held talks with Czechoslovak dissidents that were seen as a significant gesture of support. The Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tomáš Petříček, said the aim was to support today's dissidents in repressive states. Mr. Petříček attended a breakfast at the French embassy in Prague with dissidents from Belarus, Azerbaijan, Burma, Vietnam and Cuba. Similar events have been taking place at Czech and French embassies in Armenia, Burma, Moldova, Russia and Cuba. The European Court of Human Rights has rejected a petition taken by Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš against Slovakia in a dispute centred on the files of the STB, the communist-era secret police. Mr. Babiš says that he is wrongly listed as an agent of the STB in records held by Slovakia's Nation's Memory Institute, which administers such materials. The Bratislava-born politician took legal action against the institute 6 years ago, and Slovak courts initially found in his favour. However, the country's constitutional court subsequently ruled against him, and he then took the matter to Strasbourg. Mr. Babiš said on Tuesday he would continue to fight the allegation in Slovakia. He told reporters he would win in the end as he had never signed on to collaborate with the STB. Government leaders anno would have won elections around the turn of the month with 29.5% of the vote, suggests a new opinion poll from the Median agency. That figure is very close to what anno actually received in elections in October 2017. The Civic Democrats figured second in the poll with 13.5% backing and the Pirate Party placed third on 13.0%. The poll suggests Freedom and Direct Democracy would receive 10% of the vote ahead of the Social Democrats on 7.5% and the Communists on 7.0%. Czech car makers expect to make over 1.4 million vehicles in 2018 and to equal or slightly surpass last year's record output. The head of the Automotive Industry Association, Bohdan Vojnár, said on Tuesday. Manufacturers produced 1.3 million cars between January and November this year. Mr. Vojnár said the country's auto industry had expanded this year, but the tempo of growth had slowed. He said manufacturers needed to work on a long-term vision to be able to respond to changes in electromobility, digitalization, and new business models. And finally, a quick look at the weather. It should be overcast with the chance of snow in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 1 degree Celsius. Daytime highs should fall to below freezing point later in the week. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, Czechs are the fifth biggest CO2 polluters in Europe due to a reliance on coal. Hollywood looks set to shoot a biopic on the famous Czechoslovak spy known as Aaron van Haarlem, and a young scientist studying the impact of climate change on shorebirds has found a surprising link to nest predation, especially in the Arctic. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. Despite the latest United Nations report on climate change, which warns that global warming will be far greater than expected, surveys suggest Czechs don't feel personally responsible for the problem. But as Czech Radio reported on Tuesday, the Czech Republic is in fact the fifth biggest polluter in Europe and the 20th in the world in terms of CO2 emissions. Ruth Frankova has the story.
Under the Paris Agreement, the Czech Republic has pledged to lower greenhouse emissions by 40% by 2030, and according to the Minister of Environment, Richard Brabec, the country is on its way to fulfilling these commitments. Nevertheless, the Czech Republic continues to be one of the biggest polluters in Europe, releasing nearly 10 tons of greenhouse gases per person into the environment last year. Vojtěch Kotecký is an expert on environmental issues from the think tank Glopolis.
Czechia is one of the leading European polluters when it comes to carbon emissions, and the key reason is coal power. The Czech Republic still produces about half of its electricity from coal, and most of the power plants are rather outdated, and they contribute heavily to the massive pollution in some parts of the country.
The country's heavy reliance on coal has been highlighted by the Carbon Majors Report for 2017, which listed Czech coal-fired power plants and heat plants among the world's 100 biggest environmental polluters. Under rules approved by EU member states in 2017, power plants in EU countries will have to significantly cut the amount of toxic pollutants released into the air. However, according to Mr. Kotecký, this is not enough to improve the situation.
First of all, we would need a clear government long-term policy, something in the line of the British Climate Change Act, which set long-term targets for emissions reduction and the reduction of reliance on fossil fuels. And doing so, it gave a clear perspective for both government policy and business investments. But at the same time, we will need specific targeted interventions in individual sectors, whether is it proactive legislation that will lead to closure of the most polluting coal power plants, or government policies that will speed up rollout of electric vehicles in transport sectors so that we do not rely on fossil fuels in transport as well.
According to a survey by the European Commission's Eurobarometer agency, only around 6% of Czechs see climate change as the biggest global threat, which is the third lowest figure in the EU. But according to Kotecký, public awareness of the problem has definitely improved in recent years, with the effects of global warming being more and more visible.
While the issue has not been a major topic of public conversation in Czechia as much as it was in Western Europe, I think that the public is generally quite aware that this is a major problem we need to deal with, and the serious droughts in recent years, especially relatively dry summers with low precipitation, reinforced that impression and gave a sense of urgency across the society and created an understanding that we need to deal with the problem.
Vojtěch Kotecký of the think tank Glopolis, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. One of the most fascinating Cold War tales involving a Czechoslovak spy who fooled a woman into thinking he was her long-abandoned son is being adopted as a screenplay by a Hollywood studio. Yaroslav Kmenta, who wrote a biography of the spy and who has sold the rights to Fox Searchlight Pictures, says the studio has used its option to go ahead. Tom McEncrow has the story.
In 1975, the Czechoslovak State Security Service sent a spy to London with a very special cover story. He was to assume the identity of a Dutch Jewish child whose mother had abandoned him as an infant in 1944. 2 years later, the man successfully fooled the mother into believing he was her long-lost son, and for the next 15 years, he was known as Irvin Van Harlem. Posing as an art dealer, he successfully gathered information from British, American, and Israeli politicians, in part due to the fact that he was welcomed into Jewish circles thanks to his adopted identity. This allowed him to pinpoint real and potential Mossad agents and send the information back to Czechoslovakia. However, in 1988, just before the curtain fell, MI5 operatives arrested him at his apartment, and he was sentenced to 10 years in jail. Since he refused to reveal his identity, newspapers referred to him as the man with no name. It was only in 1992 that the head of the new Czechoslovak Secret Service revealed his name was Václav Jelínek and asked the British to release him. After being deported to Prague in 1993, Jelínek disappeared, refusing to talk to authors who were eager to make his story into a book. This changed only in 2001, when the former spy himself decided to contact the Czech writer and journalist Jaroslav Kmenta after reading his stories on similar topics. Mr. Kmenta says the next 4 years of writing his biography were some of the hardest in his life.
Hundreds of hours worth of meetings followed the initial encounter. He told me his whole story, and I then had to go through a complex process of checking and counter-checking, trying to find out what is the truth, what is his subjective reality, etc. I wanted it to be perfect because I knew that this Hollywood-esque plot had potential.
And now it seems that Mr. Kmenta's dream is actually coming true.
The rights to my book were purchased by Fox Searchlight, and the famous screenwriter and producer David Klawans asked me for collaboration in 2014. The contract was signed last year, and this year they used their option, which suggests that they are very interested in the topic, because normally they would not use it so quickly.
Mr. Kmenta says he is not allowed to provide more details, but is hopeful that the project will go ahead. Asked about who he would like to see in the main role, he says that Christoph Waltz would be his favourite pick, with Diane Kruger acting in one of the female roles. However, he does insist that if Ben Affleck, who has worked with Klawns previously on the Oscar-winning Argo, took the job, he would be happy as well.
Tom McEncrow reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature. This week in Czech Science, Ruth Frankova talks to an expert on how climate change is affecting shorebirds.
Shorebirds are birds commonly found along sandy or rocky shorelines, mud flats and shallow waters all around the globe. But a study co-authored by Czech scientist Vojtěch Kubelka shows that these birds are increasingly threatened with extinction. The research, recently published in the prestigious US magazine Science, reveals a link between nest predation and climate change on a global scale, but especially in the Arctic. I met with Mr. Kubelka to find out more about his study, but I first asked him why he decided to study shorebirds, which are not that common in the Czech Republic.
That's correct. In the Czech Republic, we have only 9 to 11 species breeding here, and shorebirds are all over the world. But I have been fascinated by shorebirds for many years, and I can say 3 main reasons for that. They can be nearly everywhere in any environment, from deserts to high mountains, from rainforest to Arctic. They have really diverse mating strategies. They can even have sex role reversal, that females are fighting each other and attracting males, and then males take care of eggs and chicks. And the last big reason is that they migrate over huge distances. They can fly over 10,000 of kilometers without stopping from Alaska to New Zealand, and these are really recordments in avian kingdom.
So what exactly was the focus of your study, and when did you actually start studying shorebirds?
I started studying shorebirds 12 years ago here in the Czech Republic. We set up the new working group for shorebirds in the Czech Republic. We have done many small-scale studies, conservation projects, and this particular study started in 2015 when I looked on the nest predation, which is how often eggs are taken away from the nest by predators. And I started it in 2015 by looking into the literature, mainly already published literature about the nest predation data.
If I understand it correctly, one of the main conclusions of your study is that climate change can impact relations between different species on a global scale, that means between the predators and the birds. How did you arrive to that conclusion?
Predator-prey interactions are really disrupted by climate change, according to our study, and this is indirect link that climate change can change the abundance of prey, which is in this case lemmings, small rodents, which are the base of the food web in the Arctic. And it's well known that due to global warming and insuitability of snow cover during the winter, melting and frozing of the snow again. These creatures are struggling to get to the food under the snow, and they disappeared at many places in the Arctic around year 2000. And without these lemmings, Arctic predators are more predating on other alternative prey, which is in our case shorebird's nests. This is the indirect link, and then we also have the direct correlation, and it's really true that on the sites, in, especially in the Arctic, where the global warming or climatic instability was the most pronounced, these are the same places where we have recorded the highest nest predation rates.
Which species are we talking about? Which species in particular prey on shorebirds' nests?
Mm-hmm. In Arctic, this is mostly the Arctic fox, and then raven, for example, corvid's birds, and then gulls and weasel as well in the Arctic. For example, in temperate region in Czech Republic, red fox is really the most important predator of shorebirds' nest, and then hedgehog, again, corvid birds. These are the most important predators. But going down in the tropics, there are lizards, snakes, even crab can steal the egg from the nest.
So how serious is this problem? Does it mean that if the climate warming continues, that shorebirds are threatened with extinction?
It's true, actually, and shorebirds are squeezed by several other factors as well. Now we prove that they have really low reproductive success, which means that less young birds can join the population. And on the other hand, also the suitable habitat for them is shrinking, because when they are flying to Arctic, Arctic cannot be shrinked to anywhere else, because there is the pole, the end of the Earth. That means that these birds will probably struggle a lot. Moreover, they have many problems along their flyways already. On their stopover sites, especially in Yellow Sea, in China, Korea, many intertidal mudflats are disappearing really quickly, and these birds need these sites for refueling during the migration. Therefore, it's not surprising that the majority of shorebirds are declining already worldwide.
Can anything be done to prevent this situation?
Well, it's difficult to say what can be done in the Arctic. We could imagine that we can fence a part of the Arctic to protect them against foxes, but still these are only small-scale projects. And from the global perspective, I think that we can do better and help shorebirds more when we focus on preserving of the intertidal mudflats right now to help them to have at least better adult survival, because shorebirds can live quite long, and if they have long lives, then they have more opportunities to reproduce during a longer lifetime.
Was there anything in particular that you found surprising while conducting the study?
We tested actually the predicted and assumed latitudinal gradient in nest predation, which was assumed to be higher in the tropics, where the higher variability of predators, it's probable reason. And we really saw this pattern, but only on historic data set before year 2000. And after year 2000, we have been really surprised by the rocket increase of the nest predation in the temperate and especially in the Arctic region. That means that we suppose that there could be some increase, but not so rapid and not so tightly linked, for example, to lemming disappearance.
And does that mean that the climate changes may be more pronounced in the Arctic than elsewhere in the world?
It's in tight connection that maybe on the southern hemisphere there is not so pronounced climate change.
Does your study also draw some conclusions as to what could be done in the future in terms of environmental protection?
Well, in the Arctic, it's really difficult to stop the climate change. And of course, it's discussable for which proportion humans are responsible in the climate change, because through the whole history of the planet, several rapid changes has occurred. Maybe not so rapid as this one, but of course, it's a different debate. But especially in the Arctic, we can help protecting particle nests, but what's more important right now, it's to stop really the disappearance of vast intertidal mudflats along shores, especially in East Asia.
The article which has just been published in the Science magazine was part of your dissertation, which you defended only a few weeks ago. What will you do next? Are you planning to continue in the same field? of your studies?
Of course, nest predation is only one part of the cycle of shorebirds, and even some of my colleagues were laughing that with this huge data set I could survive for the rest of my career. But of course, I like to do new things. That means that we will extend this story because there are several possible follow-ups. But also I'm working on a little bit different project, again, broad-scale project about sex roles in shorebirds, again, all over the world, together with Professor Tamás Székely from Debrecen University.
You published this story while still a student, basically. How important is it to have your study published in such a prestigious magazine for your future career?
It's very important. I'm very glad that we have made this achievement. Of course, it's not my own achievement. We have bigger team for that. And it's a really big thing to me, because I achieved it just before finishing my studies, and it opened many possibilities for my future career. That means that it's a really big thing for me. We have been lucky in many situations. Of course, it's not easy. You must work hard, but you must have also luck, at least as I understood from my senior colleagues. And yeah, we are totally happy, and that's really important for us.
Scientist Wojtek Kubelka was speaking to our own Ruth Frankova. And that edition of Czech Science also brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. You can also contact us on Facebook or via Twitter. We'd be glad to hear from you. I'm Brian Kennedy, saying thanks for listening and goodbye for now.
Thank you.